Today is we're going to be celebrating what we call Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is sort of like a Catholic holiday. We kind of drug that out of Catholicism. I don't celebrate Palm Sunday. I celebrate that Jesus Christ is going into Jerusalem to fulfill a promise that was made to me and you.
Amen.
And that during this time, and you know, I like to look at Good Friday as this. It's good for us, maybe. Wasn't good for everybody. You know, terrible day. And then we got, of course, a day situation there that we sometimes can talk about. So we won't get into all that. So I want to talk to you this morning about when the promise comes. How many of you know that you have a promise? You have a promise, and God's made us all these promises, and we recognize the fact that God, all of what we're celebrating today is a fulfillment of what we've been taught our entire lives, and we see that God is taking the church somewhere. This whole thing is about God bringing to pass His promise to us. You know, I was nosing around in some of my old study notes. I've been at this 45 years, so I've got some old study notes. And I was sort of browsing around, nosing around in those things, and I ran across this, and I thought it'd be interesting for you. Because this whole thing is about promise. This is, when we talk about Resurrection Sunday, that's a promise. It was made to us. That promise was made, and it was fulfilled. But this thing is about promise. And so in my study, going through some of my old stuff, I found that there's 8,803 promises in the Word of God. Now, I don't know where I got that number. But I called and asked someone that had more knowledge than myself, and they said that's very close, if not exact. So there's some 8,803 promises in the Word of God. Now, this is what I found so very interesting. Of those promises, 7,487 were from God to you and I, from God to human. 7,487. And then 290 was from human to God. And I don't know. I can't remember all of this, but my study in it, but I guarantee you that a lot of those promises is like the promise I make to God and go something like this. Lord, if you will do this, I promise you I'll never do that again. If you'll get me out of this mess, I promise you, Lord, then I'm there again. So 290 of them is from humans to God, and then 991 was from human to human in the Word of God, human to human. I just wanted you to see how many promises there are in the Word of God. There's so many, and many of you are like myself. I've had promises that haven't been fulfilled. I believe God has made us a promise, and I believe that things are going to happen in our lives, and things are going to happen in our families that just hadn't come to pass yet. I'm just not quite there, and I just really believe that we need to recognize that if we're having a problem and we don't feel like we have a future and we don't feel like we're really going anywhere, we need to get in the Word of God because there's a promise for you. No matter what area you're lacking in, there's a promise for you. All you got to do is just get in that Word and you find, you know what? God said, remind me of my Word. Remind me. Tell me what I said. You tell God what He said, He's going to do it. Remind me of my Word. Tell me what it said and see if I won't do it for you. So we need to recognize these promises are important to us because we can get in the Word of God and we'll find some fulfillment coming to pass. So this whole thing is about the fulfillment of God's promises. And it began with Abraham. It began with Abraham, and it goes back to the Passover. See, Jesus was entering into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. I know that most all of you know this. You haven't maybe quite let it seed into your spirit, into your mind. Jesus was a Jew. He was Jewish. He was a practicing Jew. He was a teaching Jew. He was a rabbi. Not just a rabbi, he was a master teacher. And he fulfilled all the rules and regulations of Judaism that he needed to fulfill. How many of you can tell me real quickly, what tribe was Jesus from? Judah, the tribe of Judah. All right. How many of you know in order to be a priest, you had to be from the tribe of what? Levi. And Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. Somebody says, well, you know, how was all of this thing working out that he started his ministry at 30 and priests began work in the temple at 25? Well, if when you read Judaism and the history of Judah, you recognize from the rabbinical writings that a priest, if he was not from the tribe of Levi, had to spend an additional 5 years studying and being prepared, and at 30 he could become a priest. Well, so Jesus fulfilled. How many of you know that God doesn't want you to take any shortcuts? There are no shortcuts. I mean, you know, this get rich quick doesn't work, especially spiritually. God wants you to start in kindergarten, and he wants you to work your way up. I mean, we all know that once you leave kindergarten, you should automatically go to the 10th grade. I mean, that should just be a common thing. And once you finish the 10th grade, you need to be in the 12th grade. And once you get through that, you need to enter college, and you really need only a couple of years to get your degree, have a bachelor's degree. And then you can get out and make all the money in the world. Don't even have to pay back any school loans or nothing else. No, that's not reality. God intends for us to start and begin to work our way up, because at every level, there's things that we learn that will take us and help us in the next level. And that's what God wants us to do. So this whole thing is about God's promises. It goes back to Passover. And Jesus was coming into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. How many of you know? I don't want to go there. So he was coming into Jerusalem to Passover. That was just, I'm not going to do that. To celebrate Passover, as all the other Jews were. They just made that pilgrimage every year. And they came to Jerusalem and they celebrated Passover. And the Bible says in Mark, the 11th chapter, we're going to begin reading with the first verse. Mark 11 and 1. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage, to Bethany at the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you've entered, you will find a colt tied in which no one has set. Loose it and bring it to me. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing loosing the colt? And they said, and they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go, and they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And then the Bible says, those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany and was with the 12. Father, we just praise you and ask you, if you would, to just add your blessing, add your anointing to your word. And we just want to give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen. As they drew near Jerusalem. I've stood on Mount Olivet, the Mount of Olives, And the place that Jesus prayed over Jerusalem, and the place that he entered there that day, and when all of this was beginning to happen. And if you were to look directly to the west, you would look into what is called the Eastern Gate. And the Eastern Gate faced the east, so the Mount of Olives is even to the east of the Kidron Valley, which comes down and comes up, and then you're over here, so you're looking right at the Eastern Gate, and you see this at one time massive, beautiful gate, but it's all stoned up now. It's full of stones and mortar, and no one can come in and no one can go out. And that was for a purpose. And so the purpose of, real quickly, the purpose of it was that they realized that Jesus had said that he would come back exactly the way that he came. And then it was verified by the men in the book of Acts that he would, this same Jesus that you see ascending will descend in the same manner. So he's going to come right back through that Eastern Gate. And so they said, I tell you what, let's do. Let's stone it up. He won't come through it now. So they stone up the gate. And someone says, we probably did a lot of work for nothing. Absolutely. Don't you remember what they said? They said, when they told him to tell his disciples to be quiet, he said, if I tell them to be quiet, even those stones are going to cry out. They're going to, if I tell them to be quiet, you've not heard a racket yet.
Amen.
He said, so we got to do something. We got to do something quick. If you were there today and you looked from the Mount of Olives, looked down the valley, you will see a graveyard. And the graveyard goes all the way through the Kidron Valley up to the road that is right in front that goes around the old city of Jerusalem. And in that valley is a graveyard. It's a Muslim graveyard now. But there's a graveyard there. Good thinking. They said, well, he's a high priest, so we know he's not going to go in a graveyard because he will become unclean. So high priests are not going to go into a graveyard, a cemetery. But what they didn't know that God was so, Jesus was so pure. He is God, by the way. Jesus was so pure that when he touched the unclean, he didn't become unclean. They became clean. Now I'm going to give you something to make you want to just holler. Little nugget to make you want. The Bible tells us that the dead in Christ will rise first. So if the dead are raised first, there ain't no graveyard. Are you there? Are you there with? So he would have full liberty to just not only walk through that graveyard, he'd probably do a little shouting and singing and caring, you know, just kind of be real with the world. But we see that if you were standing there, you'd be able to see exactly where they were. And this, as they drew near, they were there at the Mount of Olives. And as they drew near Jerusalem, in other words, I like to put it this way. They were near Jerusalem, but they were not there yet. Wouldn't you say that'd be a pretty good analogy? If you're near, if you're near there, if you drew near, you're near, but you're not there yet. They were close, but they were not there. And it reminded me of sometimes how I feel. Sometimes I feel like I'm really close, but I'm just not there yet. You know, I feel like that sometimes that I'm close to where God wants me to be, but I'm just not quite there yet. That's when I've got to find myself time to get by myself with Jesus and to be able to make sure that I can finish the journey. See, it's not, Paul said, not those who start the race, the journey, but those who finish, those who complete it. And so I've got to get to where I know, and I may feel like I'm close, but I'm just not there yet. And you know, as long as you're not playing horseshoes or hand grenades, it don't matter how close you are. So you got to get where God wants you. You've been close. How many of you would say to me, I have been close to where I knew I needed to be, but I knew I wasn't there? Raise your hand. I got both of mine. Listen, we're all human, and we're brothers and sisters, and we can just be close. We can be family. You know, so I've been close, and you've been close, but I just wasn't there yet. I've been close to getting over stuff. I've been close to getting over hurt, but I really wasn't over hurt. And if you've really been hurt, it takes a while to get over hurt. It leaves a scar that's not physical. But I've been close to getting over hurt. I've been close to getting over disappointment, not only in other people, but in myself. How many of you know that you can disappoint yourself? Think back over the last 36 hours and you'll figure out two or three times you've done that. Yeah, we can disappoint ourselves. I can be disappointed in me. And I've been close to getting over the disappointment, but yet I wasn't there. I was close. I've been angry. I've been angry at God. I've been angry at myself. I've been angry at people. Yeah, I'm a terrible guy. You know, I've had things happen in my life that I knew were not my fault. And I had no one to blame. So I blame God. Come on, I'm real. And that's all right. You know, you just got to recognize sometimes you just, things aren't working right. Your whole life is falling apart and you can't put it together. Humpty Dumpty, as my old saying goes. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. They called all the king's horses and all the king's men. They couldn't put old Humpty back together again. They called the king's horses. They called the king's men. Nobody called the king. Nobody called the king. We need to call the king. You got a problem. Don't call the horses and the men. Call the king. How many of you know that Jesus Christ is the King? He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the great I am. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I love him because I know I can call on him, and he's God Almighty, and he'll always be present when I have no one else. He's God. He is my King, and he is the glory of glory, and he is who we come to worship today. He's good. He's God. He's good. So we recognize that we're close to getting over stuff, but we're not quite there yet. There's something in the way. How many of you ever noticed that those things that get in your way will not only keep you back, but it will take the victory away from you? Those things that hold you back, those things are things that you have allowed to be bigger, not than you, but bigger than God. Yeah. If they'll hold you back, they're bigger than the God you... I wish I could preach this. I would probably run up and down the highway out there. Yeah, listen to me. If we allow things to hold us back, we've said, you're bigger than God. You're holding me back, and God can't do nothing about it, and I can't do nothing. The devil's a lie. Oh, no, nothing's bigger than God. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than me, or I wouldn't be in the mess I'm in. But it's not bigger than my God, because he's big. He measured out the waters of the seas in the palm of his hand. Not bigger than my God. Oh, no. Listen. It may be bigger than me, and it may be holding me back, but it's not bigger than God, and it's not holding God back, and it's not me who lives, but what? Christ. Who lives in me. Those things that hold you, they'll keep you from having your victory. You know, they'll hold you back. You won't be able to really celebrate victory as long as something's holding you back. See, how many of you ever thought that sometimes you have to go through some things before you overcome the circumstances in your life? Sometimes you just got to go through some stuff. And you got to remember that maybe it's God allowing you to grow, to go where you can grow. He's allowing you to go through these things so you could grow to another level in Him. And we got to know that the greater the battle, the greater the victory. Everybody loves a David and Goliath story. Listen, I had somebody ask me why I was pulling for a particular team last season. And I said, I just love the underdog. I love a David and Goliath story. I like to see the underdog come out on top. Let me tell you something. The enemy thinks you're the underdog. Satan thinks you're the underdog. But I want you to know, and I'm here to tell you, that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And I'm here to tell you that you're not the underdog, you're the overdog. You're the one that's on. You are not the tail, but you are the head. You are not the bar, you're the lender. God has already created you to be who you are. Listen, we tend to have this thing messed up in our head, but I love a David and Goliath story, but even more than that, I love Jesus Christ, and I know what His Word says, and I know that He is going to do what His plan is always going to work. See, we have got it in our minds. We got the mentality that if we want something, all we have to do is ask God for it. Everybody knows I'm old, so I started to say I'm going to tell my age, but everybody knows my age. Everybody knows I'm old. But I come up in the ministry when we were charismatics. A lot of people don't know what charismatics is. I found out a lot of people don't know what a typewriter is now. But believe it or not, I come up in an era of kicking tires. When I say kicking tires, I mean, if you had a Volkswagen, you went out there and kicked the tires every day and called it a Cadillac. Never seen one turn into a Cadillac, I must admit. But we did those kind of things. And we confessed it. And we believed it without any doubt in our heart. I mean, we did all of these things. We lived in a mentality that all we had to do was just ask God for it, and He would give it to us. See, He would do exactly what we said, when we said it, how we said do it, because we were in that mentality. But God doesn't operate that way, church. How many of you know that He is your Father? He's Abba Father. He's your daddy, but He's not your sugar daddy. He's not just sitting around waiting for you to think of something you want and then call Him up on the telly, give Him a jingle. No. Listen, church, I'm here. God doesn't operate that way. Listen, He may allow you to go through some things so He can bring you to your promise. Your promise from God is far greater than what you can imagine yourself being. You got to hear this. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, nor can the mind comprehend those things that God has prepared for them who love Him and diligently seek His word. Oh, God's got something for you. You want God's promise in your life. You've got to, this is where we've kind of fallen short of believing and praying, is we need to pray for God's promise. Okay, now God, I know You made me a promise because You're no respecter of persons. And Your word says that You made Abraham a promise and You made David a promise. You made all these folks promises and You've made me a promise, but I've not seen it. I would like for us to recognize that we need to begin to pray for the fulfillment of the promise. The Jews have been doing it for thousands of years. Jesus coming in to Jerusalem that day. They had been praying for Messiah for so many years, so many thousands of years. They were praying for the Messiah to come. And when it came, they didn't even recognize Him. Listen, a lot of times God sends us our answer, but we don't recognize it. Are y'all okay? Okay. I just want to make sure. I ain't feeling good, but as long as y'all are, that's all that matters. Listen. God wants to give you a promise, and he wants to fulfill that promise. Listen, you have a promise. You have a promise. Look at somebody close to you, because I can't point at everybody this morning, but you, and say, you have a promise. You have a promise. What's this? Hebrews 10:35-36 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. After you've done the will of God. After you've done the will of God, you're going, listen. The Bible goes on, says, don't throw away your confidence. If you have confidence in God, I promise you, you've talked to him this morning. Hello? I talk to people I have confidence in. I have friends that I call and they come. I have confidence in them. But more than that, I have confidence in God. See, if I have confidence in God, I don't have to run all over the country trying to get a word from the Lord. As a matter of fact, you know what I found? I found that when someone gives me a word that's truly from God, you know what I recognize? It's not anything new. It's not a new word. It's confirmation on something God's already told me. By two. It works out for us. But we got to recognize that if we see that confidence is in God, so and we begin to get confirmation of what God is showing us, and the Bible says your confidence has great reward. That's the promise. Ever thought that about what will build up your confidence in God? Endurance. I'm not going to let you dwell on that long. You ain't got time for that. Endurance. Endurance. Endurance builds confidence. Endurance builds confidence. Listen, you athletes that are out there, I'm not much of an athlete, but I can tell you this. I can tell you that if you endure the practice, you're going to have a reward. If you endure the workout, you're going to have a reward. It's endurance. It's going to build your confidence. You're going to be able to face the foe. You're going to be able to face your enemy. And know that God's going to prevail through you. It's endurance. See, once you've endured, it'll push your confidence level off the chart. Yeah. Listen, I'll give you a little nugget. I won't even charge you for it. Not a gold nugget, just a little nugget, spiritual nugget. We've heard teaching and preaching for many, many years how that the enemy, the devil, was doing everything he could to get Jesus to that cross. He was doing everything he could. He started from the beginning and wanted to get Jesus to that cross. But Jesus was going to the cross anyway. That was a part of the plan of God. How many of you know that the plan was to redeem man? There had to be a sacrifice, and there had to be an ultimate sacrifice, and the most pure ultimate sacrifice had to come from heaven, and it was Jesus Christ. He was the sacrifice. And so we recognize there had to be a sacrifice, and so the plan was already made, and Jesus was carrying out the plan. But he was carrying out the plan under the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit. Everything he did was scrutinized by the Holy Ghost of God, by the third person of the Trinity. It was, and so we find that when Jesus was going to that cross, he had planned to go there when he come here, and that's the reason that the angels told the shepherds. They said, "Go, and when you get there." Watch this. When you get there, you're going to find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, swaddling clothes, some of your versions will say strips of cloth. All right? So swaddling clothes is not a real soft little blanket. Swaddling clothes were strips of cloth, and guess what they used them for? Burial. They used them for burial. So he said, the angel said to the shepherds, go and you're going to find a perfectly healthy baby wrapped in grave clothes. That'll be a sign to you. Now, if I was looking for a child, and I looked and I went and I found a little baby laying in some soft, in a soft blanket, that wouldn't really be a sign to me. But if I saw a perfectly normal, healthy baby wrapped up in grave clothes, guess what I'd say? This got to mean something somewhere. Pour me another cup of coffee. Yeah. It would have to mean something. Wrapped in these stripped in grave clothes. Listen, he come in, and at that very moment was a sign. He come to die. He'd already, they wrapped him in his grave clothes when he was a baby. He come into this world to die for you and to die for me. He come into this world, you and I would have eternal life. I want to go through one. I've got to get this one point to you. Jesus knew he was going there. He knew that he was trying to get to, but he did not want to go alone. Jesus did. Listen, he wanted to take you and I with him. Galatians 2:20. For I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He come in this world to die for you and to die for me. Last little point I'm going to make this morning. Have you ever said this? Man, I've had to fight the flesh. I fought the flesh. That flesh keep popping. Man, I thought I was over there. And then that flesh jumped in there. I didn't think I'd have to face it. And then the flesh got in the way. I've had to fight the flesh all week long. I've had to fight it, and it just keeps coming back. Coming. No, it don't. It's dead. Come on. It's dead. It was crucified. Come on. We need to know these things. And when the flesh begins to come back, say, what are you doing? You're dead. You can't bother me. You're dead. You can't tempt me. You're dead. You have no place in my life because you're nothing but dead flesh to me. Stand up. I didn't get to finish this sermon. I'll finish it sometime. I didn't get started good, but I think it's enough that you know that Jesus Christ came into this world to die for you and for me. And I think it's enough for you to know that sometimes we got to recognize that Jesus loves obedience better than he does sacrifice. That's your word. God loves obedience better than he does sacrifice. He'd rather you be obedient than he would that you sacrifice something for him. He is the ultimate sacrifice. You can sacrifice no more than he has already sacrificed. You can give no more than he's already given. He's God, and he's already taken care of the things that you and I need to take care of. You know, I guess as we say this morning that we battle against the spirit, not the flesh, it's the spirit. And God has already created the victory and placed it within you. We need to reach in our spirit this morning and pull out the victory. You've fought against things. Some people are fighting and battling the flesh. Some people are dealing with anger. Some people are dealing with unforgiveness. Some people are dealing with pornography. Some people are dealing with lust. Some people are dealing with all kinds of stuff. And you won't win the battle by yourself. It's going to come through Jesus Christ. That's your victory. Your victory is in Him, and He is in you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Just a moment. If you would say to me, Pastor, I'm having to fight this flesh battle, and I agree with you. That flesh is dead. It needs to not bother me. And I've allowed it to keep coming back and coming back and coming back. But today I'm going to put my foot down. And I need strength. I need that God would give me strength enough to overcome every temptation, would help me overcome every power, every anger, every issue, every everything He would allow me to be able to overcome. I want you to lift up your hand and put it back, right back down. God bless you, you and you and you. Oh, just all over the building. Listen, right where you stand, or you can even come to the front, and our prayer people will be here to pray with you. They're coming now. I'm going to ask our prayer folks to come. And if you'd like to come and have someone pray with you and agree with you, please do. Come in Jesus' name. Come and allow God to minister to you. Or you can do it right where you're standing. And we're going to pray and we're going to believe. Father, in the name of Jesus, you saw those hands going up. And Father, we're saying to you, we need your help this morning. We cannot do it by ourselves. And you're the only help that we have. The enemy continues to fight over and over and over. But Father, we know that that's nothing but the flesh in us, and it's dead. It's been crucified with you. And now, Father, we just pray that you will touch every person in this building. Anoint them with the power of your grace. Lord, give them strength to overcome. And we give you the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like, please come and let these folks pray with you. That's it, all over the building. Just come. They want to agree with you. When two or three agree as touching anything on earth, anything, God's going to move on it. So if you have a prayer need, please come in Jesus' name. Please come allow God to touch you and minister to you. If not, if you don't have a prayer need, we'll dismiss you. You'll be able to go at any time you want to. And we appreciate you being with us this morning. But come in Jesus' name. Amen.